Morning. Today's reading is from Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. Listen to the word of God. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month will be the first month. It will be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole Israelite community, on the 10th day of this month, they must take a lamb from each household, a lamb per house. If a household is too small for a lamb, it should share one with a neighbor nearby. You should divide the land in proportion to the number of people who will be eating it. Your lamb should be a flawless year-old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You should keep close watch over it until the 14th day of this month. At the twilight of the day, the whole assembled Israelite community should slaughter their lambs. They should take some of the blood and smear it on the two doorposts and on the beam over the door of the houses in which they are eating. That same night, they should eat the meat roasted over the fire. They should eat it along with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Don't eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over fire with its head, legs, and internal organs. Do not let any of it remain until morning, and burn any of it left over in the morning. This is how you should eat it. You should be dressed, with your sandals on your feet, your walking stick in hand. You should eat the meal in a hurry. It is the Passover of the Lord. I'll pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I'll strike down every oldest child in the land, both humans and animals. I'll impose judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be your sign on the houses where you live. Whenever I see the blood, I'll pass over you. No plague will destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day will be a day of remembering for you. You will observe it as a festival to the Lord. You will observe it in every generation as a regulation for all time. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, many of you know that my husband Keith is a home builder, and we move a lot. But it's a good life. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I have lived in great houses that he just makes better. But there was this one time. There was. In 2019, the home that we were living in sold really quickly, and so we moved into a rental property. It had great curb appeal. It was so very cute, but it was also so very old. Built on a crawl space, and it had the tiniest of kitchens. But we thought, you know, it'll be okay. We won't be here very much. We're always at work and school, and our two oldest children are in college. We'll just eat out all the time. You know what came after 2019, right? 2020. And the college students came home, and we worked at home, and we schooled at home, and we sheltered at home. That summer was hot, as summers are, and something, I'll never know what, something died in the crawl space underneath the house. The smell was impossible to cover up in the heat. It did eventually go away, but you know what comes with the smell? Flies. And flies in the crawl space meant flies in the house. So many flies. It was no fun. So in early fall, when Keith said, "How about we move?" I said, "I happen to have some boxes and packing tape right here. I'll be glad to get out of this place." I did not say, "Let's pause and remember." And I sure did not say, "This would be a good time to consider the really important things that we want our grandchildren to know." You see, there's something really strange to me about Exodus chapter 12. The Israelites have been enslaved. They've been enslaved in Egypt. And Egypt has suffered through plague after plague. 9 of them so far. Sure, there have been flies. That's just classic misery. But there's also been gnats and frogs and dead livestock and hail and darkness and locusts and boils and blood. It's now time for the Israelites to leave. And the Lord gives Moses instructions for the very first Passover meal. They are detailed instructions that conclude with, you heard it in verse 14, "This day will be a day of remembering for you. You will observe it as a festival to the Lord. You will observe it in every generation as a regulation for all time. Seems like a strange time in the story of Exodus to give instructions for future generations. 9 plagues. They are packing up to go. And detailed instructions about a very special meal. Not, you're moving, eat what's left over. That's what we always do. Or eat whatever you can find. But roast a flawless lamb over an open fire whose blood has been smeared on your doorposts. Roast it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Eat it in a hurry. Burn the remains. This is the Passover of the Lord. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks was a terrific theologian, a teacher, an author. He was the chief rabbi of the UK. And he said, it is odd. It is odd that just as the Israelites get out of the clutches of Pharaoh, Moses is talking about children and generations to come. He wrote, about to gain their freedom, God's people are told they have to become a nation of educators. You are going to always teach this to yourself and your children and your children's children, a festival to the Lord throughout the generations. And because of Rabbi Sacks, I get that Passover is not just a holiday. It's not just a neat experience. It is an education in freedom. Sacks classically wrote, to defend a country, you need an army. To defend a free society, you need schools. Freedom is won, he said, in the imagination and in the will. To be free, to actually be free, we have to imagine it. We have to dream it. We have to align our will to it. Because you see, freedom is essentially spiritual. Practice freedom. Tell the story. Claim freedom again and again and again. That is the call of Exodus chapter 12. And I think that we could use some Exodus wisdom on the concept of freedom. I used to hear it more when I was younger, the phrase, it's a free country. Hey lady, it's a free country, which basically means I can do whatever the heck I want to do, right? That's not the kind of freedom that God is granting. Don't be misled. That attitude leads to anarchy, not biblical freedom. I can do whatever the heck I want to do. It's a misunderstanding of freedom that, culturally speaking, is getting us into a lot of trouble right now. Biblical freedom, the freedom of Exodus, it happens in community. We do it together. An entire nation, an entire people is set free from slavery in Egypt. And they don't walk out of there one person at a time to do whatever the heck they want to do. They go to Mount Sinai, where they are given the Ten Commandments, where they are given the law. They pass through the waters together. They celebrate together. They journey in the wilderness together. And the Israelites are essentially set free to worship God. They are set free to practice reverence with one another. The plagues and the Passover, they are a battle for freedom. And they are a revelation. They are essentially a revealing of the identity of Yahweh. A revealing of who this God of the wilderness is and what this God is about. Theologian Pete Enns put it this way. A cosmic battle is afoot in this corner In this corner, we have the gods of the superpower Egypt with mighty Pharaoh as their earthly representative. And in the other corner, we have newcomer Yahweh, the God of the slaves, who makes his home somewhere in the wilderness. In the plagues, we have a direct attack on the gods of Egypt. For example, the first plague, where the water of the Nile is turned into blood, is an attack on the deity, the God of the Nile. The second plague is the multiplication of the frogs, and this is an assault on the Egyptian god of fertility, who most often was depicted with the head of a frog. Yeah. And the last plague, the death of the firstborn, is an attack on the Egyptian god of the dead, Osiris. If you are the god of death and you can't control who dies, what good are you? It's worth noting that the sun god, Re, the god who personally backed Pharaoh, is often depicted with a ram's head, a sheep's head. So, the ninth plague, the sun is blotted out, right? That's an attack on Re. The tenth plague, the death of the firstborns. This is the Passover. The ram's blood, the sheep's blood, is put on the doorposts. Ouch! That's a bold move, to put ram's blood, the god who backed Pharaoh, on the doorposts. God's people are saying, hey Pharaoh, hey Egyptians, if you didn't already get it, here's what we think of your gods. It's bold. It's really brave as they leave Egypt. Consider the courage. Consider the courage that was mustered to leave the gods of Egypt, to leave the gods of their security. And isn't security often for us a little g god? Consider the courage that it takes to venture out into the wilderness. It's an uncertain adventure where the priority is deeper, better relationship with God and with one another. I love what preacher James Howell had to say about all of this. He wrote, God led the people directly to Mount Sinai to download hundreds of laws, to forge a new covenant with them, to show them how to stay free. To show them how to stay free. To curiously introduce the idea that reappears in Christianity. We are set free to serve. That's how we stay free. We are set free to serve. I came across an article this week online. It is from the Detroit Free Press. I think it's worth sharing. It begins like this. He had enough of being at the animal shelter. Scout the dog climbed over one tall fence and then another. He crossed a busy highway in the dark, and he entered the automatic doors of a nursing home. He walked unnoticed into the lobby. He hopped onto the couch. He curled into a ball, and he went to sleep for the night. An astonished nurse found him in the next morning. She called animal control and discovered he'd escaped from the shelter the night before. You see, Scout was a stray mutt. He had no identity. He had no history. The shelter staff gave him his name, but they knew nothing about him. They did notice that he had the distinct demeanor of an abused dog. The sheriff came and took him back to the shelter. But a few nights later, there was Scout back on the couch in the nursing home lobby. Again, he had scaled a 10-foot chain link fence, then a 6-foot privacy fence, crossed the highway, entered the front door. A phone call was placed. He was taken back to the shelter. A couple of nights after that, he was back on the couch, for the third time. Meadowbrook Medical Care Facility adopted him. Or maybe he adopted them. I'm not quite sure how it went. But Scout wanders the halls at this facility at will. He lies down where he wishes, and he visits residents. He's learned how to get into their rooms by using his paw to pull down the door handles. And he knows which residents have dog biscuits. The staff says that Scout is very in tune with the vulnerable population. If a resident has dementia or they are dying, he knows it, and he goes into their room to comfort them. He makes a good nursing home dog. He knows his job. He's good at what he does. If someone isn't feeling great, he senses it and goes where he's needed the most. Set free. Set free three times to serve. Scout the dog. It's impressive. May we each be a little bit more like Scout the dog, serving and living into more freedom. Amen.